When Srila Prabhupada came to America on the order of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta, he brought with him his translation of Canto 1 Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada had taken the sannyas order of life in Vrindavan.
Srila Prabhupada 是在 Vrindavan 做了 sannyasi的 起居破身的 sannyasi的生活.
And he was living in a very small room at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan.
那个时候呢, 他住在 Vrindavan的 Radha Damodar庙的一个 非常小的房间里.
He had been given an instruction by his spiritual master.
他在此前,他的明星导师已经给了他一个训示。
The instruction was to take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world.
那么呢,这个训示就是,他的明星导师训示他,把这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu的讯息带到说英语的西方国家。Since
the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are rooted in Srimad Bhagavatam,
就是完全的浓缩在了圣典不加版坛当中。He
began the massive project of translating the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后那个时候他已经开始了一个非常巨大的一个工作，就是翻译整部圣典不加版坛的十二篇。He
had translation and purports for all of the verses of the first canto published in India. The first canto was printed in three volumes, all hardback copies, 250 pages each book.
那么呢,这个每圣典国家版坛它当时翻译出来的圣典国家版坛一共有三卷,每一卷都是好几百页,而且都是用硬皮装的。
It was a wonderful accomplishment.
所以呢,他做出了这样的一个伟大的成就。
And when he began giving the message of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in New York City, the basis of that was largely Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as Bhagavad Gita. Whenever Prabhupada met important people, he would encourage them to purchase Srimad Bhagavatam. And the very little money that he received from those books is what maintained his life. The setting of Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 1, Chapter 1 is in a holy place called Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya is a very, amongst the holy places, it's a very special holy place. And the reason is because Naimisharanya is said to be the hub of this universe. There was a gathering of sages at that place, Naimisharanya. The time was shortly after the departure of Lord Krishna from this earth. When Krishna ends his pastimes and leaves, shortly thereafter, Kali Yuga begins.
当 Krishna 从这个地球上陨寂之后不久, 那么卡利年代就开始了。
Based upon their knowledge of scripture, the sages knew that the qualities of Kali Yuga would go down very rapidly.
那么所有这些圣人呢，他们都清楚卡利年代所有的这些不好的品质都会一一的展现出来。They
could also see the signs of that deterioration of good character and good qualities.
而且这些圣人呢，他们也能够看到这些不好的品质，这些衰落的迹象，一一的展现出来。Because
they were saintly people, they were naturally compassionate.
因为他们这一群圣人是非常神圣、圣洁的人，所以呢，他们自然内心怀着怜悯之情。They
wanted to do something to minimize the deterioration of the age of Kali.
所以呢，他们想去做出一些举动，能够去减少，让这个卡利年代的这些衰败的品质啊，能够减少一些。So
they had gathered together at Naimisharanya for that purpose.
所以呢，他们就聚集在了南尼沙丹亚森林，就是为了达成这个目的。Their
plan was to conduct a series of sacrifices, one after the next, lasting for 1,000 years.
所以呢，他们做出了这样的这些圣人做出了这样的计划，他们会做出一系列的祭祀，一直做一千年，做一个千年之祀。And
the purpose of those sacrifices was to increase auspiciousness in this bad age.
那么他们做这一个一千年的祭祀的目的呢，就是能够增加这个卡利年代这个堕落年代的好的品质。
In this way, they felt people would be benefited and the bad effects would be diminished.
那么他们能够就是说能够给人们、给世人能够造福于世人，这样呢，世人他们的这些不好的影响就会减少一些。So
they began their sacrifices.
所以呢，他们就开始了他们的千年之事。
The process of sacrifice is mentioned in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita.
那么他们的这个千年祭祀的这个程序，这个过程，在第三章里有描述。There
are procedures within the Vedic texts that the brahmanas and the sages were familiar with.
那么他们呢，就是在做这个祭祀的时候，他们也会念诵一些诗文，那就是在这些婆罗门圣人们他们所熟知的这些圣文。
According to very strict rules, a sacrificial arena was set up.
然后呢，他们就根据非常严格的这个规定，就把这个祭坛建立起来。Different
priests would perform different functions to make the sacrifice go forward.
然后呢，就是不同的祭司，他们就是扮演，就是完成自己的活动，能够就是把这个祭火一一的点燃。
Some were very expert in chanting the proper mantras.
然后有一些祭司呢，他们非常擅长于去吟诵这些祷文。Some
were very expert at the sequence of procedures.
然后呢，就是有的祭司呢，他们非常的熟知做每一个祭祀会带来什么样的结果。Others
were very expert at setting up and making sure the necessary paraphernalia was there.
然后其他的一些祭司呢，他们非常擅长于去搜集所有祭祀要用的这些物品。And
the idea was that as one sacrifice was nearly completed, shortly after another sacrifice would begin.
然后他们祭祀，整个祭祀是这样的完成的。当这个祭司做完的时候，一结束，下一个祭祀马上就接着开始。We
do something similar when we have a 24-hour kirtan program.
就像是我们奉献者在做一天24小时kirtan一样，一个接一个，一个接一个。One
kirtan person will sing.
您是其中的一位kirtan的这个歌手。And
he's scheduled to go for a certain period of time.
然后呢，您呢就是在一段时间之中是您引着大家一起kirtan。And
as soon as he's finished, the next kirtan singer is ready to go.
然后当您 领了这段天坛之后，下一位天坛歌手就接着开始领天坛。
And then the next singer and the next singer in this way, there's kirtan for 24 hours without interruption.
然后呢，接着就是一个一个的这个天坛歌手领着大家一起唱诵，就这样就进行24小时的天坛。
The sages had a similar plan.
那么呢，这些圣人们，南无阿弥陀佛僧尼的圣人们，他们也有同样的计划。
As they were conducting their series of sacrifices,
那么在他们去进行这一系列的祭祀的时候，
they noticed that one of the sages in the assembly was Sutta Goswami.
后来他们就发现，在这些圣人的集会当中，有一位圣人叫 Sutta Goswami 也在其中。
Sutta Goswami was the son of Ramaharshan, who was a disciple of Vyasadeva.
那么 Sutta Goswami 他是 Ramaharsha 的儿子，而 Ramaharsha 呢是 Vyasadeva 的门徒。
His qualification was already very exalted.
所以呢 ，Sutta Goswami 他的这些品质已经非常的崇高。
Even more than his qualification, however, was that he directly heard Shukadeva Goswami explained Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time.
不仅他有非常崇高的这些美德，而且他还亲自去聆听了 Shukadeva Goswami 所讲述的圣言《Buddha Tan》。
Shukadeva Goswami was so elevated that even his father Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, who was the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, sat in the assembly and heard him speak Srimad Bhagavatam.
Shukadeva Goswami 是如此的崇高，甚至于他的父亲 Vyasadeva 还有他的父亲的那些老师 Narada Muni 都聚集在当时在场的地方去聆听 Shukadeva Goswami 讲述圣言佛教瓦坦。
Sutta was very fortunate in that he was also seated in that arena or in the area where Shukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么 Sutta Goswami 呢，他如此的幸运，他当时呢也聚集在这样的圣人的集会当中，去聆听了 Shukadeva Goswami 讲述圣言佛教瓦坦。
At a later date, those sages in Naimisharanya, they hadn't heard.
后来呢，后来Naimisharanya 森林的这些圣人们，后来也听到了他讲述苏丹的波斯尼讲述圣言佛教瓦坦。
And they were very enthusiastic to hear Srimad Bhagavatam.
而南无阿弥陀佛僧林的圣人们特别的就是积极的热情洋溢的聆听了苏塔多斯阿弥讲述圣言佛教瓦坦。
So they approached Sutta Goswami and requested him to speak this message.
所以呢，他们全都去到了苏塔多斯阿弥面前，请求他
They spoke the following words of appreciation.
然后呢，这些圣人们首先呢，去表达了对苏塔多斯拉米的这种荣耀。
They said that you have not only heard this message of Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva.
然后呢，他们就对苏塔多斯拉米就说到，你不仅仅从苏卡贝瓦多斯拉米那里聆听到了圣言佛教瓦坦。
More than that, you've understood it.
而且呢，你也能够明白圣言佛教瓦坦里面的讯息。
And more than just understanding it, you've assimilated it. You've brought it within the core of your heart.
而且你不仅听懂了，而且你能够完全把它吸收到你的内心。
You have fully realized all the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam.
你完全觉悟了整部圣言佛教瓦坛里面的所有的这些知识，超然的知识。
So they requested Sutta to narrate Srimad Bhagavatam for them.
所以呢，所有的这些圣人就请求 Sutta 去讲述，向他们讲述圣言佛教瓦坛。
The way that they made this request was in the form of specific questions.
那么呢，他们去询问，在一开始的时候，他们向苏塔波斯拉米是以这种方式，以询问问题的方式向他询问。
When we were in Wuhan before coming here, one of those questions is something that we discussed.
那么当 我来到这个昆明之前呢，去了武汉，在武汉给奉献者讲课的过程当中呢，对这几个问题进行了讲解。
Listen carefully to the first question.
大家听好，我们来看一下第一个问题。
And then the answer.
然后呢，就是这个回答这个问题。
The first question to Sutta Goswami was, can you summarize the entire range of all the Vedic literature?
那么呢，这南地下南洋僧尼的这些圣人们询问 Sutta Goswami 的第一个问题是，你能不能够仁慈地将整个韦达经的精髓概述一下？
The Vedas are very, very vast.And people in this age, they're not going to take the time and trouble to read them. Spiritually, people are very lazy. And even if they did read them, they wouldn't have the capacity to understand them. And to study the Vedas, one needs a qualified teacher. And in this age, to find a qualified teacher is very difficult. Most of the so-called teachers, they themselves are not qualified. And above all, the circumstances of people's lives is such that they're always disturbed. They always quarrel with one another.And they're so busy in those kinds of activities, even if they had a qualified teacher, they wouldn't be able to understand because their mind is too disturbed. But you know the essence of all the Vedas. Can you summarize in a very short and concise statement?The essence and the meaning of all the Vedas. That's a really good question, isn't it?
这是一个非常好的问题，是不是？
And the answer that was given by Sutta Goswami was also very wonderful.
Sutta Goswami 所给出的答案也是非常精彩的。
He answered that the essence of all the Vedas is to engage in devotional service unto Vasudeva Krishna.
那么 Sutta Goswami 是这样回答的，所有伟达经的精髓就在于为至尊人的手身 Vasudeva 从事奉爱服务。
When one engages in devotional service to Krishna,
那么当一个人从事对 Krishna 的奉爱服务的时候，
two very important and special qualifications awaken within that person, that devotee.
那么呢，这个为 Krishna 从事奉爱服务的这个奉献者心中呢，非常美妙的、非常这种美好的品质就会被在他心中被唤起。
Transcendental knowledge awakens.
那么他心中的超然的知识就会被唤起。
And detachment from the worldly affairs of life awakens.
他对这个物质世界的这些物质的事物的这种不依附的这种情怀也会被唤起。
Even in the beginning, these two things take place.
即便是在从事奉爱服务的一开始，这两个品质都已经开始复苏被唤起。
Rupa Goswami teaches this in Nectar of Devotion.
Rupa Goswami 在奉爱的甘露里面给出了这样的教导。
Maybe some of you have read Nectar of Devotion Chapter 1.
可能在座的有人读过奉爱的甘露第一章吗？读了没有？
Yeah. The title of the chapter is Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service.
啊，奉爱的甘露的第一章的这个开头就叫做纯粹奉爱服务的特征。
In that chapter, you find a list of 6 characteristics.
我们可以在这一章读到纯粹奉爱服务有六个特征。
The first 2 of the 6 characteristics are the same as the answer given by Sutta Goswami.
这六个特征当中的前两个呢，就正如 Sutta Goswami 回答南尼夏温亚僧尼的那些圣人们提出的第一个问题的给出的回答是一样。
The sufferings of material existence diminish.
那么也是通过从事奉爱服务，在这个物质世界里的物质的痛苦就会减少。
And the awakening of auspiciousness comes into the life of a practicing devotee.
那么通过奉献者通过从事奉爱服务，那么他的那些吉祥的品质就会被唤醒。
Everything depends upon the quality of bhakti.
那么呢，一切都是取决于奉爱的质量。
And the quality of bhakti depends upon our association and our eagerness to receive descending mercy in our lives.
那么呢，这个奉爱服务的质量呢，就取决于我们的联谊。以及我们对就是从获得自上而下的这种权威性的知识的渴望。
So that's what Sutta Goswami said as an answer.
所以呢，这正是 Sutta Goswami 所给出的答案，也是如此。
The essence of all the Vedas is to engage in devotional service to Krishna.
那么伟达经的所有的精髓，伟达经的精髓就在于向至尊的手神 Krishna 从事奉爱服务。
As a natural byproduct or result, knowledge and detachment awaken within.
那么通过从事为 Krishna 从事奉爱服务，那么就有两个副产品就产生了，一个就是气，就是不执着的心态；第二个就是超然的知识被唤醒。
There's a total of 6 questions that are presented in this first chapter.
那么在圣严国教晚上第一篇第一章里面。
And I'd like to focus on the 6th question and the 6th answer.
那我现在呢，主要的主题就是讲述这六个问题以及这六个问题的答案。
Here's the essence of the 6th question the sages asked.
那么呢，这里就是南尼夏温亚僧尼所问的这六个问题的概述。
They said that Krishna has just departed from this world.
那么这些圣人们说 ，Krishna 刚刚从这个地球上隐迹。
When Krishna was present,
当 Krishna 在这个地球上的时候
，just by the touch of his lotus feet on the surface of the earth, all auspiciousness was created.
那么 Krishna 只是通过他的莲花足触碰到这个地球的地面，所有的吉祥的品质都会展现出来。
And the principles of religion were protected.
而且在 Krishna 在这个地球上的时候，宗教原则也被得以保护。
But now Krishna has gone.
但是现在 Krishna 走了，离开了。
His feet are no longer decorating the earth.
他的莲花足没有在装饰着地球。
And so this age of Kali has begun, and inauspiciousness will flourish in Krishna's absence.
所以呢，当 Krishna 不在的时候，不在地球上的时候，这些不吉祥的品质就得以了滋养，然后一一的展现出来。
So can you tell us, now that Krishna is gone, where will religious principles take shelter?
所以南尼夏温亚僧尼的圣人们就问 Sutta Goswami， 你能告诉我吗？当 Krishna 隐去之后，宗教原则向谁求庇？
That's another very nice question.
这是另一个非常精彩的问题。
Because here we are, and it's Kali Yuga.
因为我们现在就身处于卡利年代。
Where is a person who wishes to be situated in goodness and transcendental life? Where are we to take shelter?
那么呢，到那个完全，我们应该是向到哪里去求的庇护呢？像那些处在善良形态、处善良处境当中的人们在哪里？
The answer that's given by Sutta Goswami is found in Chapter 3 of Canto 1.
那么 Sutta
And the text number is 43.
1343.
I'll first just summarize what Sutta Goswami says. Just like the difference between day and night is the sun sets in the west. And then night comes and the sky is dark. And shortly after, the moon may rise in the sky. So similarly, the brilliant sun-like presence of Krishna has set, and now it is the darkness of the age of Kali. But shortly after Krishna's departure, the moon has come in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. Now what's the rays of the moon? The rays of the moon are simply reflection of the rays of the sun. Generally, the moon rays are not as bright as the sun. But the light of the moon is very cooling and soothing. Because the direct light of the sun can be very hot and scorching. But imagine light that comes from the moon that's as cooling as the moon rays but as bright as the light of the sun. In a poetic image, the Bhagavatam is being compared to the rising moon that's as brilliant as the sun. And when the Srimad Bhagavatam comes, so comes knowledge, also comes knowledge accompanying Srimad Bhagavatam. Knowledge accompanies Srimad Bhagavatam. And Dharma accompanies Srimad Bhagavatam. And all other features of auspiciousness accompany Srimad Bhagavatam. In this age of Kali, that's very important. Knowledge is not prevalent in the age of Kali. But persons who take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are naturally then invested with knowledge. It's very similar to the answer to the first question. Okay, it's okay. these things, what can we do? Pay attention to the Bhagavatam, please. Remember the answer to the first question? Devotional service to Krishna is the essence of all the knowledge of the Vedas. And one who engages in devotional service to Krishna, knowledge and detachment awaken within their heart. Here the message is almost identical. Those who take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are also endowed with knowledge and religion. That means that Srimad Bhagavatam stimulates and awakens devotional service. So we like discussing Srimad Bhagavatam and we like encouraging people to receive and read Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because they'll be inspired to engage in devotional service. Then the last sentence expresses that in Kali Yuga it's very dark. And where it's very dark and there's no light, how can you see? Even you may have the power to see, you can't see because there's no light. For such people, Srimad Bhagavatam serves as the light in their life. Kali Yuga is characterized by dense darkness of ignorance. Such people, if they take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, are illuminated with knowledge and light. Let's read the verse and purport.
他永恒居所是他的内在能量的展示。然而物质世界是他是Krishna的外在能量的展示。当他降临到物质世界的时候，他展示了他所有的这些随身事物。他通过他的内在能量展示了他所有的随身事物。他的所有的这些随身事物被称为Atma Maya。在国家范围里面的他与他的自身的能量降临。 他的形象、他的名字、他的名声、他的随身事物、他的居所等等，都不是物质的创造。他降临是为了拯救堕落的灵魂，重建宗教原则。宗教原则正是由他自身，由他直接创立。所以大卫至尊主没有除了主，没有人能够确立宗教原则。他要么是他，或者是一个被 Krishna 授权的一个合适的人选，能够去讲述宗教的原则。真正的宗教意味着了解神，我们与神的关系，以及我们与神的关系当中去履行我们自身的职责。终极来说，我们的目标，在我们离开这个物质躯体之后，我们要了解我们的目的地是哪里。受条件限制的灵魂，他们对物质能量所迷惑，很难知道所有的生命的原则。大多数人，他们像动物一样从事吃、睡、防卫、交配，他们大多数从事感官享乐的活动。他们表面上摆出这种宗教，遵守宗教原则，表面上去追求知识和解脱，但是他们在这个充满纷争的卡利年代，他们仍然是盲目的。在卡利年代的人，他们实际上是过着动物一样的这种生活，他们与不去追求灵性的知识，或是追求神圣的宗教生活的原则，他们是如此的盲目，来自看不清精微的心理、智性和假自我，无法超越这些。但是他们与此同时，他们又非常骄傲于自己在知识、科学和物质繁荣方面取得的所谓进步。他们宁可冒险成为一条狗或者是猪，在他们离开现有的躯体当中之后，他们宁可冒着危险去投身为一头猪或者是一条狗，因为他们完全失去了对生命的终极目标的认识。文革守神圣主 Krishna 之所以显现在我们面前，至尊人格守神在卡利年代开始之前就显现于此，然后他就回到了当他重返了他永恒的家园之后，卡利年代便开始了。当他在显现之时，他展示了他的各种各样的活动，他讲述了，尤其讲述了圣典佛家赞歌，并且铲除了所有的虚伪的宗教原则。在他离开这个物质世界之前，他赋予释迦的力量去编纂圣典国家晚坛的讯息。因此国家赞歌和圣典国家晚坛
有深刻的体会，就是国家瓦唐很是像基督教的教会讲的，他像太阳光一样。
那您的问题，
我的问题也是这样的，就是说那个我们国家瓦唐对我们就是比方说对于那个工作是你怎么来说的呢？要怎么样的？因为太多了
啊，
太多对学太多了，对于一般人来说呢，要怎么样去学习呢，才会对他们来有效果？对上班的人、忙碌的人。
嗯嗯，好。So at the very beginning, just expressing his appreciate of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that, as you said in the lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam is shining at the sun. And Bhagavad Gita is the sun. You said that like a guide, like a summary. And Srimad Bhagavatam speak on Krishna, speak about Krishna in more detail.
Yes.
Yeah. So his question is that now so many people are very busy with their work. So for them, how to, because Srimad Bhagavatam is very vast, so many volumes. So for them, how to, in which way they can study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, in a very effective way. Because they are very busy.
Well, three things. Every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is very powerful. Prabhupada said even every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is very powerful. So even if one is very busy, just read a verse a day. And because it is very spiritually powerful, one will become spiritually surcharged every day, and it's cumulative day by day by day.
一个人他每天这样慢慢的每天阅读一个世界，每天阅读一个像这样充满灵性力量的这样的一个世界，日积月累，那就累积了不少。他也就会被就是就像充电一样，充这个灵性的电一样。The
compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam knew what you said.
那么就是,
this is the symptom of the age of Kali. People are too busy. Or so busy.
就像圣典佛教瓦坛编撰的，编撰圣典佛教瓦坛的第二册的，就在这个圣典佛教瓦坛里面就说到，在这个卡里年代的人那个征兆是，他们忙忙碌碌，忙忙碌碌。So
even it's big and people are busy, read a verse every day.
那么即便圣典佛教瓦坛是如此的浩瀚，但是呢。
Within that instruction is similar to the idea that we may say to people, chant one round a day.
就是跟这个刚才所给说这个指导是有这个同样的功效，就我们可以建议那些忙碌的人们，哪怕一天拿出一点时间念一圈。
One who chants one round a day sincerely, even they're busy, they'll experience some purification and some spiritual potency in that mantra. Naturally, they'll want to increase their daily chanting.
那么像这样逐渐的练诵下去，自然而然，他们就会去增加他们每天练诵的圈数。And
the same will happen with reading one verse a day from Srimad Bhagavatam.
同样的，如果他们每天只是去练读圣典佛教瓦坛的一个诗节，日积月累，他们就会增加这个练读量。The
second thing is, in response to your question,
就是为了回答你的。
There are many tools for systematic study of Srimad Bhagavatam. To assist you in your regular reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, take advantage of some of those study tools. That will help you swiftly and more completely understand the Bhagavatam's message. And the third thing is accept the position of student with a teacher.
那么还有第三点，就是要去接受，就是学生要在老师的指导下去学习这样的一种体系。
Especially devotees that are very sincere, they're very busy just as worldly people are very busy.
那么呢，就尤其是对那些非常，尤其是那些真诚的、非常年长的奉献者，就是资深的奉献者。那么实际上这些资深的奉献者，他们跟在外面的那些工作的人一样，也是非常忙。
So busy devotees need a fully engaged teacher to receive the knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam most effectively.
那么那些忙碌的奉献者呢，他们就是从圣典国家，他们总会经常的去研习圣典国家瓦坛，从中吸取圣典国家瓦坛的这些教导。
That's best.
所以呢，要像这样的导师，这样的老师，在他们的指导下去学习，这是最好的。
So begin one verse a day.
我们就是一开始做到每天一个诗句，从这样开始。
Supposing you have a long journey to make.
假如说吧，用一长段旅程需要去走完。
I'm thinking of my long journey that I have to make.
我现在正在想我自己所做的这个漫长的这样的一个旅程。
And even a long journey, you make the first step, and then the second step, and eventually you complete your long journey.
那么即便是一个漫长的旅程，我们都会一开始就是从第一步走到第二，这样慢慢的走下去，就会走完这样漫长的旅程。
Begin one verse a day.
所以呢，那一开始怎么做呢？一开始就每天读一个诗句。
Each verse is very powerful.
圣严国家瓦坛的每一个诗句都是非常有力量。
Even we're very dull, still the verse is very powerful, and something goes in.
今天我们的头脑是如此的迟钝，但是呢，圣严国家瓦坛的每一个诗句是如此的有力量，就能够直插我们的内心。
Any other questions?
其他人有其他问题吗？
那
他就说好。
不是马尔金哈，请问给麦同学哈，刚才你说讲在这个木板林呢，也是喀林呢，虚伪纯真的年代，我们这些个众生都忙忙于在，我们的那个工作，很有时间，就是说能抽出时间能看那些个伟大知识和这些个超人的圣典。我们再一个就是说，你刚才说了这个伟大的经典，要让我们在这个年代想说我们看都是看完，这是不可能的。但是说最精华的是让我们从事对人格人守神，对人格守神库纳的超人爱心的服务。但是说我们这些个就是说知识浅薄的人，只能是说在这个年代当中能为至尊人格守神做爱心的服务，和看国家瓦坛就他俩的那个能量是一样的吗？
Tonight, sister, I will make you the focus on your state. From your lecture, you mentioned that this Kali Yuga is very free form and full of powers and hypocrisies. So, many people are just busy with their work, their activities, and it's hard for them to read.The scripture such as the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sounds like the same question he
asked. For example, some people who have a full sum of knowledge. So for those, for those people, they just do some practical devotional service. So their practical devotional service is as identical as the.Reading Srimad Bhagavatam?
No.
He said that for those people who have the full sum of knowledge.
I understand.
Because they,
question.
Yeah.
It's not identical.
他说那个从事那个实际的奉来服务，跟这个阅读圣典国家瓦坛，你说是不是一样的，是吧？
啊，对对。
他说得两者结合起来。
Even a person,
不能说只是做那些实际的话，你也不是那个的。
even a person with a poor fund of knowledge that likes doing some simple service, they should also hear.
那么即便是这个，比如说他们学识浅薄的人，然后他们喜欢做一点服务，与此同时，他们也应该去聆听超然的讯息。
That sound vibration acts directly on the soul, even they may not be highly learned.
那么即便那些人啊，他们的学识不是那么渊博啊，但是呢，通过聆听，那么这种超然的信息就会触及到他的内心。
The sound vibration is Krishna.
那么这种超然的音振会直接的作用于他的灵魂。
And when that sound vibration touches the heart, it awakens devotion for Krishna.
而这个超然的音振呢，跟 Krishna 是没有分别的。所以呢，当他们聆听到了这种超然的音振的时候，实际上通过这个超然的音振就能够和 Krishna 连接上，得到 Krishna 的指引。
It doesn't require, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam does not require being a very learned person.
那么去聆听圣典国家瓦坛，不需要一个人必须要具备渊博的学识。
The message is very profound.
因为这个圣殿不在晚坛的里面的所包含的讯息本身都是非常深刻的，非常渊博的。
And a simple person may not understand all the details and subtleties, but it will awaken their devotion for Krishna.
即便是就是一个就是说学识不是那么学识浅薄的人，但是他们聆听了圣殿不在晚坛的教导，能够唤醒心中的奉爱服务。
And as devotion for Krishna is awakened.
那么当他的心中对 Krishna 的奉爱服务被唤醒的时候
Knowledge and detachment will follow.
啊，知识和不依附就会随之而来。
So here Srimad Bhagavatam every day.
所以呢，要每天聆听，聆听圣言，我讲好吗？
好。
Even very simple people should hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day.
那么即便是一个思想比较简单的人，也应该每天去聆听圣言，我讲好吗？
那么我是想问这个，就是像就是说我是中国人，就是不如是他说的是英语，如果没有翻译的话，不如讲英语读国家瓦坛的给我们听，我们是不是就是他不会有分别是非人格还是人格的吗？没有，就是有人说，就是，就是举一个例子，就我到马来菩萨，就是在那里组织听菩萨话，
没有翻译，
对，没有翻译，有人说就是说我去听的话是属于非人格的，是对吗？
For example, he is in Chinese body and you speak English. So for example, if he goes to Maripura Lake.And there have the spiritual master gave lectures, but there is no translation, and he still is very eager to listen those lectures spoken by spiritual masters in English. So, and he said that if I go to listening the lectures without any translator, it's a kind of impersonal.
No.
Activity?
No, it's spiritual activity.
不是，你去听他们讲课，这是灵性的活，不是非人格。
I'll tell you a story that I heard from Kamal Krishna Maharaj.
我讲一个，告诉你的故事，就是 Kamal Krishna Goswami， 从他那里听到的。
Do you know who is Kamal Krishna Goswami?
你知道谁是 Kamal Krishna Goswami?
He was one of the leading disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
那么呢 ，Kamal Krishna Goswami 是须勒帕拉帕德的非常的就是有这种领导能力的这样一位领
主。And Prabhupada requested him to give up all of his other service, come to China and establish Krishna consciousness in China.
那么须勒帕拉帕曾经去与他放弃他手头所有的那些服务，然后再来到中国去传播 Krishna 主义。
And during the earlier part of his devotional life, for a long time he was Prabhupada's personal secretary.
那么在黄浦生公司那里从事奉爱服务的早些时候，他一直是须勒帕拉帕德的贴身秘书。
He was a very one of the greatest leaders of the Hare Krishna movement under Prabhupada's direction.
那么呢，他们为什么公司啊，是在伊斯兰教中，在释迦牟尼佛的指导下的一位非常优秀的这样的一个领导。
He said sometimes he was traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India.
他然后他们为什么公司啊，就说有的时候他和释迦牟尼佛在印度旅行。
In many cases, Prabhupada. In most cases, Prabhupada would speak in English.
那么呢，在大多数情况下，释迦牟尼佛讲课的时候都是说的英文。
Because the audience was able to understand it in English.
因为呢，这个听众啊，他们能够听懂英语。
But in some cases, they couldn't understand English, so he spoke in Hindi.
所以呢，但是呢，在有些情况下，因为听众听不明白，不懂英文，所以他有的时候就用印度语讲课。
So when Prabhupada started to speak in Hindi,
那么当时呢，他在这种情况下开始用印度语去讲课的时候。
The American devotees that were traveling with them thought it was time to get up and leave because they couldn't understand him speaking Hindi.
然后呢，那些就是从美国来的十八个的那些门徒，因为他们不懂印度语嘛，他们只懂英文，所以呢，在十八个的用印度语讲课的时候，这些美国的门徒呢，他们就想离开现场，因为他们不明白十八个讲的印度语。
And Prabhupada stopped speaking, told them in English, "Sit down and listen. It will be purifying for you."
然后呢，帕帕看到他们要离开现场的时候，修帕帕德立刻停止了讲课，就对他的那些美国门徒说：“你们不要离开现场，就坐在这里听，这对你们有好处。”
So they sat through the whole lecture, hearing something in Hindi that they couldn't understand, but the sound vibration of Srila Prabhupada was purifying.
那么修帕帕说：“这对你们是有净化的。”后来尽管他们听不懂修帕帕德讲的印度语。但是呢，这个音阵，是他从帕帕口中传出来的这个超然的音阵，能够净化他们的心内心。
Much better if you have a Chinese translator present.
当然了，如果你有这个能够有一个中国人做翻译的话，那当然是最好的。
In my airport, there are many Chinese devotees that live there.
那么在 my airport 有很多中国奉献者居住在那。
So next time you go to my airport.
所以呢，下一次你去马尔代夫的时候
，find out before you leave who are those Chinese devotees that can translate, and then ask them to come and translate for you during class.
然后你在离开中国之前啊，你就事先找好在马尔代夫有哪个中国奉献者能够给你做翻译，你先安排好啊，先那个联系上他，这样呢，你去听课的时候就有人给你做翻译。Thank you.
Yes. 是在夜读的时候读了一部分，然后就觉得很前面很光了，后面还很多，前面又忘了。
好，
就是这个。
Sorry, that when you study the scriptures.
When she did what?
Study scriptures.
Yeah.
So he went then, he reads the present, read, for example, those verses. At the same time, she is also afraid that he forgot the previous, what he read. The previous verses.
Like yesterday or the day before?
那你是说是忘了前面读的，是说昨天还是前天还是什么的？还是说你以前读的？
哦，不知道，第二本、第三本，就是前面的我忘了。
But for example, he read the canto 2, and then at that time he already forgot the content of the canto 1.
Okay.
So what to do?
Keep reading.
那你就继续读呗。
You can go back and review.
你可以就是再回来念。
That's valuable.
这是很重要的。
But you'll never get to Canto 3 if you don't continue Canto 2.
但是呢，就是不要就是说你在阅读圣严伯迦兰第三篇啊的时候之前应该阅读，就是说之前应该是阅读圣严伯迦兰第二篇，这样一篇一篇的。
Review your notes.
啊，然后呢去复习你所记的笔记。
You go back and read the verses again.
然后呢，再回来复习一下你前面所阅读的那些事迹。
I know one teacher that just teaches Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 again and again and again and 15 times, 20 times, he has his students just hearing from him Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 again and again. Then the message goes in very deeply.
然后呢，这个佛教老坛第一篇的这些讯息呢，就会深深地扎根于自己的内心。
So then when they hear something from Canto 7 or Canto 8, they see the connection between that message and what's in Canto 1, because essences are in Canto 1.
因为当后来呢，当这些人他们去阅读圣典佛教老坛第五、第七篇或第八篇，然后他们就能够发现，在第七篇、第八篇里面所涵盖的内容，就已经就浓缩在了佛教瓦坛的第一篇里面。因为佛教瓦坛的第一篇就是整个圣典佛教瓦坛的整部佛教瓦坛的精髓。
That's another approach.
就是另一种方式。
这个方法不错。
我再问一个问题。
好，我有个问题。
在一个国家舞台的时候，我看到是哪，反正是哪一篇，我是哪一篇，我记不住了。但是有那么一个意思呢，就说是奉行者，作为奉行者，如果真正你修成功了，他的祖先二十四代
啊，
都可以被他带到灵性世界
啊。
我啊都可以，就是可以带走嘛，可以带就是。24代是从我以上，那24代祖先是吗？24代祖先就可以带走。这个带走呢，我想问一下，这24代是不是他的祖先是包括父母，就说，比方说我父亲这边呢，还有我母亲这边呢，是不是都包括这些亲戚，这些有血缘关系的人？
啊，告诉大家 information from Srimad Bhagavatam, but he cannot remember which verse. And in that verse, the content is like that. So if a devotee very successful engaging in devotional service, so he can bring 24 or 27 generations up or down.And to go back to Godhead. So he wants to know what such a 24 generation refers to her parents,
yeah.
The parents of the parents?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Direct
yes.
relationship?
Yes. What Prabhupada was asked, what does that mean that they're delivered? And the answer is, Prabhupada gave is,they have in their next life the opportunity to engage in devotional service.
那么呢，说到在二十四代是有这种直接的嫡系的关系。那么有一次呢，释迦帕德就是有人问释迦帕德这样一个问题，说到就是说二十几代被解脱了，被得以拯救了，是什么意思？这个拯救了是什么意思？释迦帕德就是说。这些就是你的这些跟你有的这些代人，他们必须在下一辈子的时候有机会去重生过来服务，这就是你的拯救的意思，解脱的意思。他会在他们的下一辈子去重生过来服务。
There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says, devotional service is rendered from the liberated platform.
那么呢，在圣典佛教梵歌里面说到了，奉爱服务是始于解脱的，开始于解脱。
When you engage in devotional service, or your, you know, ancestors or the next generations, they engage in devotional service. If they engage in devotional service, that's from the liberated platform.
那么呢，就像是您现在开始从事了奉爱服务，这实际上是已经是从解脱的层面上，就是你已经从这个层面上开始。
So by you becoming a pure devotee,
那么通过你成为一个纯粹的奉献者，
you're creating that kind of auspiciousness in those within your family line.
那么呢，你就那么通过你成为一个纯粹奉献者， 你就为你的其他的这些家人哈、啊，那些在祖先们就提供了一个机会，他们能够有机会提供了一个非常吉祥的氛围，能够他们有机会能够去从事奉爱服务。
You're creating the good fortune that they will meet a devotee, and the devotee will offer the opportunity to engage them in devotional service.
那么你给他们带来了一个幸运的机会，就是能够使你的这些祖先的这些人能够有机会遇到奉献者，当他们遇到了奉献者，他们就有机会去从事奉爱服务。
They can still say no.
当然了，你的那些祖先们也可以说我不从事奉爱服务。
But if they say yes, they're situated in a liberated platform.
那么，如果他们说好的，我从事奉爱服务，那么他们一旦从事奉爱服务，他们就已经就是到达了这种解脱的层面。
I suggest that you.Put your full attention on becoming a pure devotee.
所以呢 Maharaj 他建议你完全专注于如何成为一个纯粹奉献者。
Krishna will do the rest.
Krishna 会照顾其他的事情的。
That's Krishna's department. Your department is become a pure devotee.
Krishna 有他要做的事儿，你要做的事情就是专注于如何成为一个纯粹奉献者。
Krishna will never fail to do Krishna's part. We may fail to do our part.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他从来没有就是说没有不去成功的履行他所要履行的那一个部分的职责，而我们呢，说不定可能就没有完成我们的职责，我们有可能会完成不了我们的职责。
Okay, we've gone for an hour and 20 minutes. I think we're going to end. Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Shiva Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. Yeah.